Okay, good afternoon. My name is Adelia Huang, and I'm a hearings officer, and I have two cases scheduled to begin at 3:30, and they both involve the same appellant, Scott Frederick Bailey. The first case is case number 1180145, and he also has another case, 1180246. Because these cases involve the same appellant, his two vehicles that were parked near each other and were towed for essentially very similar reasons, I am going to combine the hearings on this. And in part, that is because it looks like the appeal, the reason why Mr. Bailey has appealed is identical for both vehicles. And so there's a lot of duplicative information in the files, which is okay because each record stands alone. However, for the purpose of this hearing, I will combine both matters into just one proceeding for efficiency. I am noting that the appellant is not present and neither has anyone appeared on behalf of the city, but I am going to take a look at the file here and note some things. It does indicate that both vehicles remain in storage with the tow company, and for purposes of reference, the Mercedes-Benz is associated with the case number ending in 5, and a Dodge van is the vehicle that was towed in case number ending in 6. So it looks like both vehicles, both the Mercedes and the Dodge, were indicated to have still been in storage at the time that the hearing was requested, which required us to set this hearing within 72 business hours. For that reason, it also is very unlikely that any notice that may have been sent would have been received by the appellant. I am going to check in with the clerk to see if Mr. Bailey has had any contact with our office.
We called him on November 21st to give him the information on the date and time of the hearing, and he said that he was in California and he was not sure if he would be able to be at the hearing or not.
Okay. I do note that we did receive something really recently. It looks like today we actually received it, a written statement from the appellant. And so it does appear that Mr. Bailey is aware of today's proceeding, but probably it sounds like it's still in California, so that's probably why he's not here. Either way, attendance is not required for the proceeding, so I'm going to go ahead and proceed. I will admit exhibits now. So part of the reason why joining the cases was necessary is that when I was reviewing the cases, it looks like the city's evidence for each vehicle got transposed. For instance, I have exhibits that were marked for case number ending in 6, which should have been the Dodge, but all the documents, and they're very similar to the other documents submitted for the other vehicle, but all the documents that the city submitted pertain to the Mercedes. The other case ending in 5, which should have been the Mercedes, contains all the information from the city about a Dodge van. So I need to pause the record because I want to admit only the relevant documents for each vehicle, and I need to figure out the best way to do that, so we will pause the record. Okay, we're back on the record. After consulting with the SAGE clerk, I do believe that it is the most effective to do the following. I'm going to, in the file, I will note that in case ending with 6, the case that should have been about the Dodge, I'm not going to admit what's currently in here marked exhibits 5 through 12, because these look like they pertain to the other case. What I will do is we will make copies of the other files that were papers, documents that were admitted in the or submitted for the other case as exhibits 13 and ongoing, so that each file can have the correct paperwork, but will also contain copies of what was originally submitted so that there is no confusion. So let's see here. My order will clearly specify what exhibit numbers I'm admitting, but essentially each file should have the same documents from the city admitted. So that'll be a lot clearer in my order, but as of now, I am going to go ahead and consider both packets of documents from the city in each respective and appropriate file as they should be considered. So, okay. First things first, the appellant submitted one single tow hearing request form, and he refers to both vehicles. So he states, I parked both of my vehicles that got citations and were towed alongside the property of a couple that am good friends with. They did not catch the tow notice until late on Friday the 9th. I was not able to reach a live person nor leave a voicemail message when I called before end of business on the 9th. I called first thing on Tuesday the 13th after the three-day weekend was over. A nice woman assured me that the tow wouldn't occur as fast as the 72-hour notice indicates. I left a voicemail message for Inspector Shelley Nizovich that same morning. I was not offered a direct line to reach her. She called me back a day or so later. I was able to ascertain from her message that it was highly unlikely that she ever listened to my voicemail message. She briefly informed me that the tow was already scheduled and to call her if I had any questions. I called her back the same day via the main line for the abandoned auto office. No one answered the line, and again to leave a voicemail message. My friends informed me late on Wednesday that the tow had already taken place. I am currently in Mendocino County, California, living in Mendocino County, California. The van has been and will once again need to be what I live out of with my dogs when I return to Portland. The biodiesel Mercedes-Benz is the all-time favorite vehicle of my life to date. Both aforementioned vehicles were parked in line with one another. Please assist in being able to afford affordably something able to retrieve my valuables to me. And the last is, I can't really read that last specific sentence, but I think I get the gist of it. So this document was submitted for both the tow of both vehicles, and then we have some tow hearing reports from the city, and they're very, very similar. So I'm going to summarize what they say about the vehicles. Essentially, Abandoned Auto received a request for enforcement on November 7th for the Mercedes-Benz as well as the green Dodge van. And they were parked on the 1900 block of Southeast 35th Avenue, which is on the public right-of-way. Officer Nezovich responded to the report on November 7th while enforcing the area. The vehicles were located. Upon arrival, the vehicles were found to be in violation of Title 16 for abandoned auto. Both vehicles displayed expired license plate tags on both the front and rear plates. No state trip permit or temporary license plate was displayed on the vehicle. Officer Nizovich affixed a green 72-hour tow notice warning on the street side window of the vehicles. And then there's reference to photographs taken at the time of the warning. The officer had received no contact and no phone call about the vehicles during this time period. Approximately 6 days later, on November 13th, the officer returned to the same location for a recheck and found the vehicles were still in violation of Title 16. There was still no temporary license or trip permit observed on the vehicles. At that time, the officer cited the vehicles for abandoned auto. The 72-hour tow warnings were still fixed to the vehicles. A tow was scheduled at that time. The following day, on November 14th, when the officer returned to the office at the end of the shift, a note was on the computer keyboard with name, number, and two case numbers. And said in California, no other information was left on the note. The officer returned the phone call at 2:52 p.m. and got the caller's voicemail. The officer left a voicemail which included why the vehicle was towed and that it was ordered towed the day before on November 13th and that they had no further information. There's some additional detail in here regarding some additional attempted phone contact between the officer and the appellant on November 15th. This document further states that the tow warning affixed to the vehicle stated, if this vehicle is not completely removed from the public right away, it will be towed by order of the City of Portland. After 72 hours from the issuance of this notice, this vehicle will be towed in accordance with the provisions of Section 1630.225 of the Portland Municipal Code. These two tow warnings were issued both on November, both these vehicles were ordered towed on November 13th. And not towed until the following day. However, the tow warning documents here state that the vehicles were warned for abandoned vehicle, failure to display current registration, or current temporary permit. The information pertaining to the Mercedes-Benz includes photographs of the Mercedes-Benz parked directly behind the green Dodge van. On the side of the road, there's a green sticker on the rear driver's side of the Mercedes-Benz. There's some photographs showing the license plate on the Mercedes-Benz. The stickers show registration tags for July 2017. For the van, there are similar photographs. The van has a green sticker on the front driver's side window. The license plate shows registration for August 2017. And there are parking violations, copies of parking violations also included in the city's documents, with the most recent violation dated November 13th, wherein each vehicle is cited for 1620-120P, that city code provision, the city code provision which relates to abandoned automobiles. Okay, the last thing in the file is a very lengthy written statement from the appellant, and I'm going to summarize it as I have in preparing for this file read it in its entirety. Essentially, the appellant talks in great detail about the context of why he left his vehicles parked on the road, and he says that it's due to the Portland's ever-increasing cost of living. Mr. Bailey had previously been rent-evicted, which where his rent was increased by quite a bit of money, and he had to move out from where he was staying. Between lost wages for my place at work at the time and putting the vast majority of my belongings into storage units out in Troutdale to buying this van to live out of with my dogs and cat, I still have not been able to fully financially recover from the eviction. And so he was able to secure a different rental option in Portland. He was not able to secure a different rental option within Portland. Therefore, Mr. Bailey was in a state of semi-desperation, and he moved into the van and parked his daily driver's small up truck and beloved biodiesel Benz and parked alongside the city streets of Portland. Having been begun such in the middle of winter, it was the ensuing autumn that I decided that I needed to flee my by and large long cherished chosen home. So Mr. Bailey headed down to Mendocino, California to trim pot for a long-term friend after managing to have considerably consolidated personal belongings in storage. He was at a loss as to what to do with the cargo van and the Mercedes-Benz. The couple who Mr. Bailey is friends with had ample spare street parking along both legs of their corner lot, and so Mr. Bailey opted for the less utilized by them and parked there. So these friends notified Mr. Bailey on Friday the 9th that the vehicles both had tickets and no tow notices on them. And so she contacted Mr. Bailey about the cars. The remainder of this document talks about Mr. Bailey's attempts to contact personnel with the abandoned autos division of the Portland Bureau of Transportation and finding out that the vehicles had been towed. Mr. Bailey emphasizes that he needs the van to be able to once again live out of when returning to Portland, and that even with the intent of selling the Mercedes, the funds from doing so is not significant. And Mr. Bailey is essentially living paycheck to paycheck, and Mr. Bailey has also been adversely affected by the whole situation, and Mr. Bailey argues that the pricey ticket and impending 72-hour notice is both unnecessary and cruel. That's a good essential chunk of what Mr. Bailey has stated in his written statement for both vehicles. So I will note a couple things. The first thing that I am going to mention is that I understand Mr. Bailey has endured quite a hardship, and that this issue of the vehicles being in storage right now is a great burden on him. However, city code is what I need to apply when I determine if the order to tow the vehicles is valid. And city code specifically says that I cannot invalidate a tow of a vehicle based upon one's financial situation. So I don't want to overlook the importance of Mr. Bailey's limited financial means, but unfortunately that's something that I cannot use as the basis for invalidating the tow if it's otherwise in accordance with city code. City code does say that it is unlawful to park a vehicle or even stop a vehicle on the public right-of-way if the vehicle is abandoned. An abandoned vehicle is defined as a vehicle which meets a couple of one of three conditions, and one of those conditions is when the vehicle does not have lawfully affixed unexpired registration or fails to display current registration. So by that definition, the person who ordered the tow of these vehicles did properly determine that the vehicle is an abandoned vehicle because the vehicle sat there for more than 24 hours without current registration displayed. Additionally, the city has code here which says that a vehicle may be towed and held at the expense of the owner from any public right-of-way when the vehicle is an abandoned vehicle under the city's definition. Lastly, City Code 163225 says that a vehicle may be towed 72 hours after notice of intent to tow has been affixed to or placed on the vehicle if the vehicle is an abandoned vehicle. So in this case, there does appear to have been a proper 72-hour tow warning notice affixed to the vehicle. Now, Mr. Bailey asserted that he was told by someone that the vehicle probably would not be towed within or soon near the 72-hour mark. However, what I do apply here is code, and code does say that as long as the tow notice has been on the vehicle or affixed to the vehicle at least 72 hours prior to the tow, then the tow is valid with that type of notice. So the vehicle was warned on November 7th, both vehicles, and then they were ordered towed or scheduled to be towed on the 13th. So much more than 72 hours had elapsed since the tow or the warning was issued and placed on the vehicles. With that being the case, the evidence does demonstrate that the issuance of the tow warnings and the towing of the vehicles after 72 hours had elapsed after the tows of these vehicles was in accordance with city code. For those reasons, I do find that there is substantial evidence in each of these records for these cases to demonstrate that the person who ordered the tow of the vehicles did follow the correct laws and rules. And with that being the case, I have to find that the tow of each vehicle was valid, and that Mr. Bailey remains liable for the towing and storage costs of these vehicles. Either party can appeal my decision, and at this time I am closing the hearing.